All right, well, let's get to the book of Titus tonight. Titus, the final in our Bible of the pastoral epistles, epistles written 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus to men who were in the ministry serving as essentially as pastors, although in somewhat apostolic vein as well, as they were the extension of Paul, and so they were doing some apostolic type work helping get leaders established in churches and so forth. Maybe something that we would compare in our day and age today to what a missionary does, as they go to the field, get a church established, but then as well help get a national pastor in there, and then they start it all over again. My dear friend Archie Perez, who our missionary, the Rayfelds, work with, Archie's been in Uruguay for, 20 years, I think. It's been 20 years. That's amazing. That's right. I remember when he left. Really his role in many ways, though he's still helping pastor the one church, he's working as a guide and just advisor for several other churches that have been established and are being established right now. I think it's the way that missions goes. And so Titus is doing that same role, except obviously back in the first century, on the Isle of Crete, as we find out from the study of the book of Titus. So, several things. Obviously, we know as we look in our notes tonight, we know that the author is Paul. It says so again. There's nothing to discuss there. This is an amazing description and a little lengthier description than he normally uses of himself. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Notice that he sees his calling as an actual command. He calls it the commandment of God our Savior, and he's revealed truth through Paul and through the avenue of preaching. And Paul is going to deal here with Titus and setting up pastors and churches and so forth, and a wonderful reminder that God has chosen in this day and age, at this time, to use the heralding of the gospel, the heralding of the truth, to get out the truth of the gospel. We're supposed to do it. And all of us, by the way, this word preaching here is the word to herald. It's not necessarily the work of the pastor teacher specifically. It's the work of all believers. We can all be heralders of the Word of God. So don't be afraid. Our society has so suppressed us from saying stuff. We need to be politically correct. No, we shouldn't be. We should be biblically correct. And to be biblically correct, I'm supposed to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Declare it. Herald it. Wherever you go, get on your soapbox. Can I put it that way? That's the word herald. It wasn't, when a king came to town, the herald didn't say, hey, y'all kind of listen to this. If you got a little bit of time, the king's coming. All right. No. He got up with a trumpet blast. Everyone had to sit up and pay attention. Well, obviously, we don't do it in an obnoxious way, but we are heralding the truth of a great king, are we not? If that can encourage your heart to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then do it. And Paul is doing that. He writes to Titus, and Titus, we don't know a lot about, and that's what I've done here on our notes tonight, is I've basically mentioned every reference of Titus in the New Testament. All right, to get a little, to try to help us grab just a little picture of who Titus was. Unlike Timothy, who we know a fair amount about, we know very little about Titus, other than what Paul writes about him here in the book of Titus, and then a couple other references. So we know from verse 4, see there, to Titus, my own son after the common faith. Whether Paul had actually led Titus to the Lord, or like Timothy, had already been led to the Lord, and Paul became the chief discipler, the mentor of Titus, we know that there's a close relationship here, so much so that he calls him a son. Paul didn't use that flippantly. So there is a tight bond, and we see this in a couple of the other references. In chapter 2, just flip over there, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he's giving some exhortation, and as we get to the discussion of chapter 2, I'll explain this better, but he's exhorting several different groups in the church. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And then he says in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. So Paul, in his mind, as he's talked to older men, older women, younger men, He seems to tie Titus into the category of younger men. Now, we know from the passages that we'll see next year in 2 Corinthians that Titus has been in ministry for a while. At least has been involved with Paul for probably a couple decades. At least 15 years. So when we say young, I would probably just be outside it. I'm 54. So I would not be considered young anymore, finally. Okay? But it could be very well that Titus is like a 40-something-year-old man. That wouldn't be a surprise at all and still considered young. And frankly, that's as we look at life and ministry, a 40-something-year-old person, we still consider pretty young today. You know, depending on how many years of ministry experience and so forth. But there's, Lord willing, many years ahead for Titus as well. And for sure, he's still under the elder Paul, the one who is much older than him, or at least a decade older or so. And so there's that relationship, that son, father relationship. So he's considered somewhat young. He's with the young man, needs to pay attention, be disciplined, and so forth in his life. That's verse 7 of chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, we find that he is for sure a Gentile. So he's not a Jew. Unlike Timothy, who is half Jew, half Gentile, Titus is a full-blood Gentile. And he's used in Galatians chapter 2 as an illustration, Paul uses it, that Titus was not in any way forced or made to be circumcised as a Christian. And Titus never went into the temple and so forth. So some strong arguments in Galatians concerning that the Old Testament law is done away with and the New Testament is a different era. And Paul uses Titus as an example there. We haven't required Titus to become a Jew in order to be a good Christian. All right, very interesting. So he's clearly a Gentile. And then the entire 2 Corinthians passage, and you see there's a number of references here, and we've talked about this as we walk through our study of the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. What I want you to notice here, if you remember a little bit of the history, lots of problems in Corinth. Paul decides to not go himself, but instead to send Titus to see if they would actually listen to him instead of, he's afraid that they wouldn't listen to Paul at all, but he knows that Titus is closely connected to Paul in the Corinthians' mind. It's very interesting to me that Paul would entrust a very delicate, potentially destructive situation to his son in the faith, Titus. To me, that says much about who Titus is. I would consider Titus then, in light of Paul using him to go to Corinth, and actually, by the way, remember, Titus was successful. He came back to Paul, this is between our 1 and 2 Corinthians, and basically said, Paul, they heard your letter, they were willing to submit to our authority and leadership, they want to reestablish their relationship with you, Paul. To follow in God's ways rightly, not listen to the false teachers, not become separated and segregated, not follow all the different people, but be one in Christ. So he came back with good news. He actually did something that Paul was totally uncertain of that it would actually happen. Remember, Paul was so worried that he hadn't heard from Titus. They were supposed to meet and they didn't come back together. Where's Titus? He left the work in Troas, which seemed to be going well, and headed over towards Macedonia just to find out, where's Titus? I fear for him. I'm afraid for what may be happening in Corinth. And that's where they meet in Macedonia, maybe in Philippi. Macedonia, remember, is a region, not a city. And Titus brings back good news. They're listening. And Paul's heart is comforted and rejoices, and that's when he scrawls 2 Corinthians, which really, remember, is 4 Corinthians, all right, as best we know. So Titus, in light of all of that work, I would say several characteristics about him. Number one, he was wise. He was old enough and mature enough, though considered young in the ministry, that he could handle the word of God and declare it well. He was wise. And these are notes you can just write beside the references. Obviously, he was a man of amazing integrity. That the Corinthians were willing to receive him, though he was coming from Paul, speaks highly of his character. They must have known, maybe from Paul's ministry, and Titus could have been along, We're not sure because there's really no references directly to Titus in the book of Acts. He's never mentioned there, okay? It's like, oh. But very well that Titus could have been at Corinth while Paul was ministering there, and they came to know him. On the other side of the coin, maybe he wasn't there, but word had gotten out of the character of Titus. And so when he shows up in Corinth with a letter from Paul and instructions from Paul, they are willing to actually listen to him because his testimony preceded him. A man of amazing integrity. What he said was true. How he did it was godly. A man of great integrity. And then as well, a man of obviously great compassion. Paul references in 2 Corinthians that Titus was burdened and in fact went above and beyond the call of duty that Paul had given to him in the ministry of the Word of God, helping to try to get the whole Corinthian problem, all the division, all the false teaching, they're settled. He loved God's people and was willing to even go to those who were really dissembling, were being very carnal, as we find out, you know, from the Corinthian letters. And Titus took the word of God and actually had a successful ministry. A man of a wonderful compassion. Okay, so there's a couple of thoughts from 2 Corinthians. As we get back to the next reference, then, this is back in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, verse 12, we know that he must have been dear to Paul, because Paul wants him to join him at Nicopolis. That's verse 12 of chapter 12. No, chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 12 of chapter 3. And he wants Titus to stay with him through winter, spend several months together. Titus had some work to do, and he says, keep on doing it until I send these folks. Could be that the folks that he was sending actually carried this letter to him. And so after getting things arranged and ready for Artemis and others to help take over there in Crete, he said, now please come to me and join me in Nicopolis. We're not sure the exact location of Nicopolis up in Asia, possibly on the Grecian peninsula on the west side, so on the Italy side of the Grecian peninsula, all right? Possibly that's where Nicopolis was, all right? So anyways, he loved fellowship with Titus. There was a common and close bond there. And then the final reference to Titus is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And this is while Paul was in his final prison. So he had been, remember, he was in prison, sent to Rome. Best we can understand history, he was released for a time. And then he's re-imprisoned, and now he knows that his time on this earth is soon done. He's about ready to be a martyr for Christ, and he writes Timothy, and he mentions at the end of 2 Timothy that he's kind of alone right now because there are several people that are out doing work, one of which is Titus. And Titus, he says, has gone to Dalmatia. Where in the world is Dalmatia, all right? Well, today it would be, again, the western side of the Grecian peninsula where we would today find Bosnia-Herzegovina, Croatia, Montenegro, even Albania. I've had the privilege, I haven't done a lot of traveling, but when I have traveled, I've been in Albania, and in the one of the main cities, is it in Tirana? The capital. It's not in the capital. It's in one of the coast cities. There is an old Roman Colosseum there. First time I've ever laid my eyes on and there's actually a couple of Colosseums there. One of which is, according to tradition, is where Titus was martyred. It was moving in my sense. I mean, it's a bunch of rocks and stones and pillars and all those kinds of things. But to realize, wait a second, this very well could be the same spot that Titus saw just before he went to glory. That's kind of moving, all right? We don't understand as Americans, you know, our country is only a couple hundred years old. All the heritage is back in Europe and so forth. But that's moving, interesting. So it could be that that's where he actually, in Dalmatia, was actually martyred for the Lord. We don't know for certain sure, but that's a possibility. Okay, and then as we wrap up this evening, the date and the place, again, from chapter 1, verse 5 and 3:12, it appears as though Paul was writing from Nicopolis to send for Titus to come back. And if we've got it, the story right, we presume that Paul and Titus at some point between the two imprisonments went to Crete to do some work. And that's when Paul left Titus in Crete, and he went on to some other further ministry. So if it's between the two imprisonments that Paul wrote Titus, we would say somewhere around AD 63. So 1900 years before I was born. There you go. Okay, and now the occasion. The occasion, why did Paul write? Well, again, it's pretty straightforward. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Why is he writing? For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. So, I put it this way. Why did Paul write Titus? To encourage Titus to keep at your ordering work, keeping things orderly, helping the churches do things properly, both in picking and choosing their pastors, helping give wisdom and counsel, and in having good polity, all right? Remember, there were things that would seem to be out of order. They were wanting. And things should be done decently in order, according to biblical order. We strive to do that around here, by the way. The way we handle our services, the way we handle our business, the way we handle our fellowship, we strive to always make sure that we're within the biblical parameters of how that's accomplished and done, with things in always proper order. And so, anyways, Paul is saying, I want you to stay at it, Titus. And he's going to give us, so we'll find through, as we walk through these three chapters next week, Lord willing, we'll find that there's a lot of things to do with keeping things in order. It's very interesting, though, and I'm going to give you some clues, all right? The order that Paul speaks about in chapters 1, 2, and 3 often run from, here's the order, here's the doctrine, here's the theology. Now, in light of that theology, how do I then live? What's the outworking? What's the practice that is the direct outworking of that doctrine? You see, don't hold the truth of God's Word over here and never live it. Everything that you and I know about God's Word ought to advance and cause us to do something right over here in our practice. All that you do, your life, should be filled with an outgrowth of the theology of what you believe about God and what He's instructed us, how He's instructed us to live. There's no part of my practice that should be untouched by my theology. Every part of my practice, not just here at church, I'm talking about my life, how I live, ought to be touched by theology. And that's, you'll find, it's amazing. This is a book, really, in many ways, and this is why it's practical for us even today still. It's a book on behavior. All right? You want to study biblical behavioral science? Read Titus. Okay? And you'll find, oh, wow, I need to let what I know about God and what I know about truth have implications for every area of my life. I need to live out the Word of God. Okay, so that's the occasion. And then, really, chapter 3, verse 12, he was writing the letter just as a note. Titus, I want to be with you. Would you come join me for winter up in Nicopolis? We'll spend some time together, and very possibly some of the last times that they had some long fellowship together was over that winter in Nicopolis. Okay, so there we are. We'll step into chapters 1, 2, and 3 by God's grace next week. May we begin to tantalize our thinking, in a sense, and live out our theology, what we know and believe about God and how we live. And I know many of you, I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but let me be an encouragement. Keep it on. Don't stop thinking theologically. Let your theology affect your practice. Okay, let's pray. Thank you for the time, Lord, and your word tonight. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have in prayer. Thank you for the joys and blessings that we've experienced over these last several days with the Christmas concert. Thank you for the nation of Israel and the joy and blessing we have of understanding its value. And I pray that you would help us the rest of this week to serve you well. May what we know about you from your word and what we know that you've instructed us to do, may it directly, not indirectly, affect how we live life. May we be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great night. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday.